Well, good morning, everybody. It is wonderful to see more and more folks starting to make their way back. There's no pressure. So listen, we're going to continue to live stream because we know some folks are uncomfortable. And you know what? That's 100% okay. So again, if you want to start coming back in, you are welcome to do that. Please don't feel any pressure or any guilt or anything like that. I had multiple people call me this week and say, Pastor, we just love the church. We love you guys. We love the teaching. We miss you so much. But we're just not ready to come back yet. We don't want you guys to think we... And it's okay. It's okay. We love you, and we just want to encourage you. George, there's a little bit of an echo here. I'm not sure why. But I want to encourage you also. Couple things. That Right Now Media that Pastor Gary was mentioning earlier... Man, there is a wealth of stuff on there. And listen, we paid for it for all of you for free. And so if you want that and you have internet access, man, talk to Pastor Gary. It's already paid for, free in Jesus' name. All those things, theology and parenting and marriage, it's all for free. Youth, kids stuff, all for free in Jesus' name. Usually what happens is churches, what they do is they pay this big amount. And then you know what happens? Only the leaders get to use it when they feel like it and they show that's how they teach. But we want to give it and make it available to everybody. And so that's yours. So talk to Pastor Gary. He'll walk you through. We'll get you set up. It's free as a gift in Jesus' name from the church. Just because we love you and we want you to grow in the Lord. That's the main thing. So, all right. I think that was it. Let me see if there's anything else. I have it in the back of my mind. There's something else. But my little ADD brain. What? No, that's not it. No. Oh, well. It'll come to me in the middle of the sermon, and that's how my brain works, and I'll have to tell you that. Okay, so we are going to get into the Word of God, and I am so very excited to do that. We have been going through the Psalms. We've been spending a summer in the Psalms, okay? And what a perfect time to go through the Psalms, because the Psalms are... You know, crying out to the Lord, each one individually, sometimes through your pain, sometimes through your joy. And this is a prime opportunity, right? David's doing the God's speaking to the Holy Spirit, and he's writing these stuff down for us. And so we've been going through psalm after psalm, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 over this time, breaking it up in parts. But the Lord this week says, Pastor Darren, actually didn't call me Pastor Darren, he calls me Darren. He knows my name. He's my pastor, right? He's the real pastor of this church, isn't it? Amen. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, isn't it? Okay, so he's like, I've got a different message, and you know, of course, me being the logical person I am, I'm saying, Lord, I'm going through the scriptures. You know, what comes after Psalm is Psalm 6 and 7, so. You know, that's what I was going to do. And of course, we have to be obedient to the Lord, right? And he's saying, that's nice. I'm so glad. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want you to do something different today in the Psalms. And I want you to go to a different psalm because I have a message. So when he does something like that, I would love to say that I don't argue, George. Sometimes I argue a little bit because I was thinking something else. But I know that he has a message. And that means the fact that you're here today means God has a special personal message for you. I don't know what that is, but God has ordained you to be here today. I don't know why, or if you're online today, he's ordained you to listen to this message. Or if you're hearing it afterwards, you know, in audio or video, God wants you personally to hear this message. Because we're speeding ahead. We're not going to do Psalm 6 today. We're going to go to Psalm 139. It's already up on the screen. Okay, I didn't know that. So, if you would, get a Bible, open your Bibles to Psalm 139, or open your phones, your iPads. Somebody told me today, I'm not going to be able to turn the pages, and he's doing it on his phone. I said, that's great. So, but make sure you do it. And if you're at home, come on. I know you. Listen, you're comfy on the couch. You're comfy on the bed at the computer. Just go get the Bible. Get the Word of God. Go get it. I want you to be reading it for yourself. I want that Word to be hidden in your heart. So don't be lazy. Go get it. Because the Word of God transforms us. And it's becoming less and less prevalent in our country and in our churches. The Word of God is almost like an extra, right? It's not the primary thing anymore. And so what's happening is people are getting weaker in the Lord and weaker in the Lord and weaker in the Lord. And God doesn't want that for any of us. He wants you to be strengthened, empowered, not informed, but transformed. Amen? Okay. So we are going to go through Psalm 139 today. Are you guys excited? Okay, good. Anthony's excited. A couple of us, yeah? All right. Ungulary's excited. You guys got to be excited for this. God has a message for you. Holy schmolies. That's awesome. Now, I don't know what, but what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to read the psalm all the way through, and you can read it with me. So that's why you want to have your Bible. We'll read it through once, and then I fully realize that I'm not going to get through the whole psalm. So I'm not even going to try, okay? Just want to let you know, we're just going to go maybe through six verses because I've learned after many years that every time I try to do something like that, he has other plans. So let's start off in verse 1 together, okay? You ready? It says, "Oh Lord, you have certain..." One more thing. I'm going to try to do it without comment. It's going to be very difficult for me. I'm going to read the whole song. I'm going to shut up. Then I'm going to talk a lot. Okay, ready? Here we go. Lord, help me to do that. "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you're familiar with all my ways." Verse 4 says, "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit, O Lord? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I made my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you." Listen to this in verse 13. "For you created my inmost being, O Lord. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent, and your adversaries misuse your name. Don't I hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them, Lord. I count them enemies." Verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Isn't that fantastic? What a powerful psalm this is. Now, this is Psalm 139, and what a psalm it is. What a powerful song. And I don't know if you guys wonder these type things, but I wonder what kind of, a psalm is a song. And I wonder how this was sung to the Lord. Do you know what I mean? You know, was he, we read in some of the other psalms that we studied, some of them were by stringed instruments. Like we would think like a guitar. Was it like a guitar solo? You know what I'm saying? Or by flutes. You know, of course, it wasn't actually a guitar. They would have a harp or a lyre. Was it sung by a choir? Was it that kind of a beautiful thing? Was it kind of a Gregorian chant type thing? Were they all jamming out, rocking out with the whole band? I don't know. But I would love to know how this psalm was sung to the Lord. Because it's beautiful and it's powerful and it's true. And it's for you. And it's for me. And that's beautiful. Some of your Bibles, if you have New King James or ESV, might have a title in there. I think the ESV is like "Search Me, O God" is the title. That stuff is written afterwards. But just to help people putting little titles and stuff like that. But actually, Psalm 39, there's a part here right before that actually goes all the way back to the original Hebrew text. That part is, those other things weren't. But this part is, it says in Hebrew, it goes all the way back to the beginning when this was originally written, for the director of music of David, a psalm. And that for the director of music, some people think that maybe that, and people are unsure, just to be honest, but in the original text, some think that it's the chief of the Levite singers like Asaph. And if those of you take notes and like this thing, you can look them up in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. I think it's 1 to 7 or 4 to 7. Or the other singer, Levitical singer, Heman. Not He-Man, the Masters of the Universe. But another leader of the singer, you can read about him in 1 Chronicles 6, 33. Or quite frankly, you know what? Maybe he's singing, maybe David is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Maybe this song is to the real director of all things, of music and of everything. Maybe this director of music means he's singing it to the Lord who directs everything. Maybe this whole thing is for him. I don't know. But it's for the director of music, and it's a psalm of David. David wrote, out of 150 psalms, he wrote about 73 of them. And this is one of them right here. It says that David, in 2 Samuel 23, verse 1, the Bible calls him, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Isn't that beautiful? The sweet psalmist of Israel. And as we get into this psalm, the first thing I want us to see, and I don't know if you felt this when you read it, but you see this little bear cub right here, not bear cub, this little lion cub right here? This is how I feel in this world sometimes, okay? This little guy is me, and I'm in a desert, and here I am. Okay, I'm pastoring, I'm shepherding, and I'm trying to protect other animals, other sheep, whatever, but this is little me. This is how I see myself, to be honest, and I'm trying to help others and feed others and protect others, and how am I supposed to do that, oh Lord? But Ephesians says this about me, and he says this about you. He says you're God's masterpiece. He says in Greek it's poema. You're his poem. You're his sculpture. He sees me and us this way. He sees us as the finished product. I might see myself as weak, lowly, whatever. God doesn't see me that way. And God doesn't see you that way either. And as you read this, you're going to see that God sees you in a different light. That God sees you in a beautiful, amazing, wonderful way that outlasts and overpowers what our own thoughts might be, or what your parents might have said about you, or what those so-called friends might have said about you, or your coworkers, or whatever. Because this is how God sees you. And when we go to the sweet psalmist of Israel, and what a sweet psalm it is. I'm reminded of this scripture in Psalm 119:03, like it says on the screen here. It says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Can I ask you a question? And you guys will have to answer this personally. When they call David the sweet psalmist of Israel, and you see this, how sweet are your words, O God? Because remember, right, this is all inspired by the Holy Spirit, is it not? From beginning to end, God breathed, God inspired, Old Testament, New Testament. Your words to my taste are sweeter than honey to my mouth. Here's a question for you. Is it really? Think about that. Is God's word to you sweet? Are you rising up early? Or are you putting in a devotional? Are you taking in God's word? Because it is sweet, right? But do you find it sweet? Is it sweet to you? If not, can I tell you something? There's something wrong. Now, there's not something wrong with God, or there's not something wrong with his word. There's something wrong with me, with us. When I haven't found pleasure in it, and I'm like, man, the only place I'll go do anything, the only place I don't want to be, I don't want to get up this morning and watch church online. Well, something's wrong in your heart. That's a red flag. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, are you the person that's like, hey, let's go to church. Let's get the word. Are you the person that's being, oh, I guess I'll go for her sake. I'll go for his sake. My parents make me. Whatever it is. What? You know what I'm saying? Let's be honest. If it's not right, if it's not sweet to you, ask, oh, Lord, will you make it sweet to me? Here's the reason. This is what I found, at least in my life, and maybe it's true in yours. And I'll give a little illustration. I wasn't going to do this, but the Lord's just putting this on my heart. So I hate to say this, but I love junk food. I love terrible things for me. I love sugary, sweet stuff, and I chocolate and peanut butter and dairy, everything that I shouldn't like. Do you know what I'm saying? I like greasy burgers, and I like them French fries with, you know, not just a little ketchup. I splash it in there. If the grease and the salt wasn't enough with the carbs, let's put some sugar and, you know, from the ketchup, and I gobble it down. And here's what I found, whether it be sodas or bad food, listen to me, hear me now, guys. When I eat all that bad food, can I tell you what? I feel, I don't know how to say it, I feel sick. I feel sluggish. I feel like for the rest of the day, I don't know why I do it. I know I'm going to feel that way, and I'm wrestling with it. But when I eat all this junky food or drink all the junky drinks, do you know what? The good stuff doesn't taste good to me. The stuff that's really meant to nourish me, that actually has a vitamin or a mineral that I need or protein, you know, things that will actually help me to grow. I don't want that. I don't want just healthy, pure water. I want some sweet sugar syrups, you know, that I can inject into my veins, you know. So what I'm saying is, through all this, if the word of God isn't sweet to you, you know what? That may mean that you're getting too much of the world's input in you. You're ingesting too much of the world's stuff. Do you know what I mean? And so the good stuff doesn't even taste good to you. But here's what I've noticed. Like, one of the hardest things, if I start purposely laying off the sodas or the sweet teas and just start drinking water, even though I don't like it at first, man, after a while, I'm like, I start feeling better. And I start feeling good. And I put off the burger and the fries today, maybe, you know, the double portion. And I eat it. I feel great. I feel better. And then you know what? I want it again. I want more of that water. And it starts to taste better to me because I feel better and I enjoy it more. The same with the Word of God. So if you're having this struggle, put that worldly stuff aside and get more of the good stuff. Even if it's more difficult at first, do it anyway. And it will become sweeter and sweeter like honey in your mouth. Amen? And those who have walked with the Lord, you know that this is true. All right. Now I got to remember where we were at. And I'm also seeing that our TV is still out. So that's a bummer because I use that a lot. Okay. All right. So let's do the first thing here. It says in verse 1 in your Bibles, look at it with me. It says, O Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Now listen to this. That word searched, do you have that in your Bible in the verse 1? O Lord, you have searched. If you do that kind of thing, underline it or highlight it. Because the Hebrew word in there is chaker. Actually, it's not chaker. I have a hard time saying the ch. You know how the Hebrews do that? It's actually like chaker or something like that. Ha. haker, and it means to pierce. It means to penetrate. It means to dig deep, like in a mine, right? God is saying, Psalmist is saying, oh Lord, you have searched me. Haker, you've pierced me, you've penetrated me. This isn't a cursory knowing of you. He's saying, God, the creator of the universe, is saying, I have searched you, right? I'm digging deep within you. This is our God. Listen to what he says. In Proverbs 25, 22, this is the same word. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search it out. That same word, haker. And what that means is to mine. The Jews used to actually use that word when they were mining something, down deep, digging in. And God is saying, you've searched me in Psalm 139. Or right here, you know, Jesus would tell stories and he'd give teachings. Do you remember that? And he'd do it in parables. Do you remember that? Parabole means to lay alongside. So it's a story that comes alongside a truth. And here's why he would do that. For those who were trying to trap him and didn't really hear what they want to say, do you know what? They wouldn't find it. But for those who really were seeking the Lord and searching God and searching in his word, do you know what? He would reveal it to him. The Bible says, if you search for me, if you seek me, you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so we're a king's kid. So we need to be searching, digging. That requires some effort, okay? And God wants us to do that. But he says, you have searched me and you know me. That word haker means also not only to dig down deep or to pierce or to penetrate, it means to investigate thoroughly. Like a detective, do you know what I mean? Like if you've seen them, you know, finding every clue about the situation, going in, finding everything they need to do to solve the case, right? That's what he's saying. That's what God's saying. Lord, you've searched me. You've investigated me. That takes time. That takes effort. That takes detail, right? That's what he's saying he's doing for you. For you. What? He cares about me that much? Yes. Listen what Jeremiah 17:10 says. But I, the Lord, search, same word, haker, all hearts, and examine the secret motives of our hearts. God knows us better than we even know ourselves, right? How many times have you tricked yourself, right? Oh, this is a good idea. Oh, I'll do this. Yeah. Oh, this is from the Lord. Wink, wink. God knows our hearts. He searched us and he examines our secret motives. He says, I will give all people the due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Wow. He searches me. That means not just what we say or our actions, but the motives of our heart. God is searching every area, and he's working on every area of your heart. Stuff that you don't even see. God's working on it. Listen. Now, wait till that. He goes on to say in verse 1, you have searched me. You've pierced me. You've penetrated. You dug deep. You've investigated thoroughly me, O Lord. And then in verse 1, it says, you know me. And you'll see it over and over again in the scriptures. In verse 4, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. And it'll say in verse 13, you created my innermost being and you knit me together and you know me. And you'll see it over and over and over and over. It says, you know me, in verse 1. That word in Hebrew is the word yada. Have you ever heard that? Yada? Now here's when I've heard it. Can I be honest with you? I hear yada, 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 yada. What that means to me is blah, 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 blah. I don't care what you have to say. But that's not what it means at all. That might be what the world says. But yada in Hebrew, check this out. You guys, It says you know me. The word yada means to perceive, to understand deeply. It means, listen to this, hear me now. It means to know intimately. God is saying, not only, he's saying in verse 1, not only have you searched me and pierced and investigated and cared, he says, you know me. Yada, you are intimately understanding of who I am. That's your God. In the Old Testament, listen, the pagan gods, they could have cared less about you. In fact, they were either indifferent or hostile. You would have to appease them. All the false gods, you'd have to do something to appease them. But our God's not like that. He's saying, it's not that you have to appease me or I'm hostile. Even the Muslims and all, they have to do all that to blow themselves up and kill people to get to their version of heaven and the virgins chained to a bed and crazy stuff like that. Listen, our God is saying, I'm reaching down to you. I'm searching you. I know you. Yada, intimately. And if you go back and to see, it's used a lot of times in scriptures, a lot, and it's got a lot of definitions, but it means that intimate, deep understanding. And if you actually go back to the first few uses, sometimes I like to see, how was it used originally? The first few uses of the word, if we go back to Genesis, and this was hard to find a slide for. Genesis 4:1, this is the same word, yada. Okay? It says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That's, everybody gets that, right? You know what I'm saying, right? Everybody? Okay, without the kids here. But they were intimate together in a marital relationship. Like, this is as intimate as you get on this, you know, earthly realm. God is saying, I am so intimate, involved with every area of your life. That's how much I know you. Even more so than that. Isn't that amazing? That's your God. That's how much he's concerned for you, for your life, for your thoughts, for your heart motives, what you do, where you go. He's that concerned about you. That should blow you away. Me, oh Lord? I know you care about Anthony. But I know you care about Pastor Darren. But I know you care about Amanda Panda. But not me. Absolutely, I've searched you. I know you, son. I know you, daughter. That's what he's saying right here. Intimately, deeply, I know you. It says, I wonder if I have more verses because I'm used to my little monitor being up here so I can tell. I probably do. Hey, look at that. Exodus 33:7, okay, says, I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Do you know what? Can I tell you something? That same word there, yada, I know you by name. As of 2020 in May, do you know how many people there are on the planet? You ready? 7.8 billion people. Now, we're not even talking about everything else that's going on in the world. We're talking just people, 7.8 billion people. And yet God is saying, you are important to me personally, intimately. That's how important you are. I don't care if your friends don't see that. I don't care if your family doesn't see that. I don't care if whatever your church you've gone to or wherever you're at doesn't see it, or your pastor or your coworkers or your boss doesn't see it. God says, I see it. I know you. I love you. That's your God. That's how much he cares for you. That should just get you so excited and revved up, shouldn't it? What? That's our God. Yes. Even the babies in here are excited. So, this is where we're at. Listen to a few more verses. I'm almost positive I did this. So, it says, but as for me, Lord, you know my heart. You see me and test my thoughts. You can't see it, but that's Jeremiah for those of you who take notes. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 3. But as for me, Lord, you know my heart and you see and test my thoughts. Listen, that God would be that interested with the entire universe going on, right? Or universes and stars, billions, right? He's that concerned about you. And he's concerned how your heart is feeling this morning, Patty. Do you know what I'm saying? That's your God. He's concerned about my heart. I remember one time when I was very young, you know, a couple years back. That's not funny. A couple years back when I was very young, a teenager, I went to a place called Bayfield, Wisconsin. I would ask if anybody has been to Bayfield, Wisconsin, but the chances that you've gone to this tiny little remote spot in Wisconsin, upper parts of Wisconsin, in the mountains, is nearly impossible. It's a little tiny town. I don't know what it is now, these couple years later. And I remember, this was before I got saved. I went to church and all those things, but I wasn't saved. I didn't give my life to the Lord. But I remember just looking up at the stars. And I don't know if you've ever been to a place where there's not a lot of stars. Where there's not a lot of light. And you look up. And so I'm up just like this. And I'm looking out on these trees. And I had never seen, and still to this day, there's only one other time where I have ever seen more stars before me in all my life. Millions and billions of stars, right? Even our sun is a star, right? And it's a smaller star. It's not even a big star. And yet they're all put into place, right? And I'm just realizing, oh my God, how vast the universe is. And how big you are. I was blown away. And I honestly, at the time, I felt very small. But when I realized, like Psalm processing standby, 147 verse 4 says, it says, he counts the stars and he calls them by name. So all those billions of stars, it says that he calls each one of them by name. Billions and billions of stars. And yet, he knows me. He searched me. He cares about you. What? The same God who made the stars, you know what? He knows your name personally. He knows your pain. He knows your shame. But he also knows that you are reclaimed. Hallelujah! What? So, that's your God. And to be reclaimed, for those of you who don't know, it means take something that's useless and broken and destroyed, right? Good for nothing kind of thing, at least for the Lord, and making it into something useful and beautiful. That's what being reclaimed is. Even in the New Testament. Oh, Pastor, this is all Old Testament stuff. Well, let me give you a New Testament scripture that has the same connotation, carries the same meaning in the Greek. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows intimately, relationally, all those that are his. Hallelujah! And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from their wickedness. We turn away from, repent, away from what our flesh wants, what the enemy wants, the devil wants for our lives, and we turn to what God wants for his life. And it becomes sweeter and sweeter, and the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen? He knows me. He searched me. So we're in verse 1 still? Yep. Hey, we're starting verse 2. So we are cruising. Yeah, all right. It says, look at verse 2 with me in your Bibles or on your iPads or phones. You know when I sit and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts from afar. Now, I'm no grammar guy, okay? I like Hebrew words. I'm a word guy. So I love looking up words and what they mean and to get so I can get a better, deeper understanding in the Greek and the Hebrew. I love that. But I stink at grammar. And some of you guys are saying, we know. We listen to you all the time. And if you've ever seen me write anything, it's terrible. I'm like a second grade grammar person. And that's why I put all the dots on all my texts, if you get my personal texts. I don't know. Does a comma go there? I don't know. Whatever. So... But there's a guy that wrote a Psalms commentary published by Zondervan, and he's actually a professor. He's a linguistic professor at Trinity. And he wrote about this verse in verse 2 where it says, you know, and by the way, that know is that same yada intimately, right? You know when I sit and when I rise, okay? But he said this. He said his name was Professor Van Gemeren, and he said in the Hebrew grammar, the emphasis in verse 2 is on you. Huh? Me? No. You. Where it says in verse 2, you know when I sit and when I stand. It's like the psalmist is going, oh my gosh, you search me, you know me, you know when I sit, when I stand, when I think thoughts, good or bad, you know all these things. You, God, care about me? That's what he's saying? You spend the time, your thoughts are about me? What? That boggles my mind. I remember Chuck Swindoll saying one time. But that's what it says. You know when I sit and when I rise. And you perceive my thoughts, right, from afar. And perceiving my thoughts from afar, I'm going to say this first. That word afar, right? I didn't write down what I meant. I meant to do it. Did I write it in Hebrew? I thought I did. Yes. I wrote it down in verse 2. You perceive my thoughts from afar. In Hebrew, that's ra'ok. And that means, that could either mean distance or that means like time. Like what God, what I think he's saying here, and I could be wrong, so, but it says, you perceive my thoughts from afar. It's not that God is so, so far away from you. I'm way over here and I can still, even I'm not far away from you. No, it means, for me, time. It means specifically origins. So what it's saying in the Hebrew, the ra'ok, it means like from long ago, you know me from afar, throughout time, you know me from long ago, when I was born, from my origin, and you know great into the future, and you know me from the beginning of time to the end of time. Did you know it says, if for those of us who are saved, that you were ordained before the creation of the earth? What? He knows you. Wow. You know my thoughts from afar. Everything you think, even the yucky stuff. That should help us. Listen, some of us can, I don't know, sometimes we can have this Christianese language and these Christianese talks. We know the right lingo to say, right? We know the right responses to give, almost mechanically, right? Oh, praise God, hallelujah, whatever. But in our hearts, we're saying, oh, I hate you. Lord, bless you. Bless their hearts. What they're thinking, oh, I can't stand him at all. Right? God is saying, no, I even know those thoughts. The stuff that maybe make us feel guilty or shameful. Listen, guys. If I said, hey, guess what? We're going to put your thoughts up on the screen from this weekend. Or I'll just say me. I don't think I would like that very much. Because sometimes I have to take captive every thought, right? Because we can all struggle with the same thing. Temptation, anger, lust, whatever it is, we want to think about. But God is concerned with the motives of our heart. Sometimes we can do the right things for the absolute wrong reason. Do you know what I'm saying? God's saying, I even know those thoughts. You got to get those right. You know, and God's so wonderful. If I knew that, when I first got saved, I would have pooped my pants. I've been like, oh my goodness, you've got to be kidding me. Listen, I'm just working on you know, as an unsaved person, right? Lord, I'm just working on not like, you know, screaming and punching people. So I think I'm doing really good. I'm working on not ripping people off and manipulating them and using them like I did. I'm working on not sleeping with my girlfriend because I know you don't want me to do that outside of marriage. I know that's, and I'm working on these things. I feel real great. If I thought, oh my gosh, he knows the thoughts. At that time, I might have been overwhelmed. But he's so good to us. He's like, but I love you anyway. I already know you. I know those thoughts from the beginning of time, the end of time. And I love you anyway. Hear what's being said to you. It's gold. It's like silver and gold you're receiving from the Lord. Not because I'm giving it to you. I'm telling you this is the heart of the Lord for you. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's amazing. You know my going out and my lying down. I think I have a scripture for this too. Let's see. I don't have my monitor. The Lord knows our thoughts from afar. Psalm 94:11 says, the Lord knows the thoughts of man. They are but a breath. He knows it all from beginning to end, your whole life, and yet he loves you anyway. A guy by the name of Brennan Manning says, God not only loves me as I am, he wrote Ragamuffin Gospel, but also knows me as I am. That should blow us away. Paul said when he got saved, here he's a rabbi, right? He's a Pharisee. And when he gets saved, even after he gets saved, he says, I am the worst of sinners, because he knows that God knows his thoughts, but God loves him anyway. And this is important. And I hope you understand this. When it says in verse 3, you discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways, right? That's our God. Listen, how God sees me and how God knows me is infinitely more important than what others say about me. Excuse me. Or how they see me. Excuse me. People are so worried, and I can do it too, right? I want you to like me. I do. Maybe you're that same way, but what God and how God sees me and and knows me is so much more important than however others see me and know me. Because he determines my eternal destiny. I watch people, and listen, I don't even know if I should say this, so if I mess up here, you guys can correct me later. This is especially to women. I watch guys scramble for the love of a woman or a friend or a boss or just trying to get recognized and whatever, or they sell their soul to get more money or to whatever. And I've watched girls. And I have to ask a question. Do you believe this? Is God more important, how God sees you, than how others sees you? Or are you so desperate for likes and to have people watch you that you give yourself away? Do you know what I'm saying? And especially, guys, do you really believe it in your heart? Because I'll tell you, how God sees me is how I have to believe about myself. And that gets me through each day. And that brings joy to my heart and strength to my bones and courage to my character. Because if I relied on what other people thought about me, you know what? People are fickle. Can I tell you? Some days I'm their best friend, some weeks, some years. And then you know what? They hate my guts. A couple years down the road, I make one mistake. I hate that guy. He's so terrible. Like, my gosh, I ministered to you for years. What are you? Listen, this is for you girls, especially the young girls. I'm watching more and more feeling like they have to expose themselves to get attention from guys or give themselves away. How sad. Something so precious, something so beautiful that God has made you and designed you for, and you're giving it away, right? Just to get somebody's attention. You already have God's attention. You already have the person. The creator of the universe's attention. No one is greater than that. You'll never get infinite likes. Yet God's already given you that. Do you know what I'm saying? Especially for you young ladies. When I say young, I'm talking 20s down. But for really for everybody, you're worth it to be pursued and you're worth it to be treasured. So wait for the one that sees your value and how much you're worth to God. Listen, why don't you find a guy that says, man, you are amazing in the Lord. You know, when I saw my wife, I thought she was pretty cute. She was. And is. Ah, you thought I was going to get in trouble right there. I was thinking back. Don't. No. Get in trouble for that one later. But my point was, but you know what really attracted me to her? Can I be honest? She was a cutie. I mean, she had the tan. She had going on. Is. It's a cutie. But even more so. Even more so, honey. Some years back. If you can imagine. And let me tell you, what attracted me the most to this girl, even though she was cute and all that, she loved the Lord. She loved him, and she wanted to be godly. Now, she was at those beginning stages, okay, of her walk with the Lord. But I could still see, my gosh, this girl loves the Lord. She loves the Lord way more than I do. I thought I was doing really great, but I don't think so. I was so attracted to that. So listen, if you're a godly guy or you're a godly girl, you know what? That's what a godly guy or a godly girl is going to be attracted to the most in you if you want that. So become that. Does that make sense? Don't sell yourself and give away for some cheap likes or so somebody will manipulate you with words. That's what I used to do before I got saved. Sadly, that's who I was. I enjoyed manipulating. Power trip, whatever you want to say. It's disgusting. And yet, now that I know Jesus, it's just the opposite. So if you want to follow him, remember, God values you. And a godly guy or a godly girl will value you in the same way. Gary, how long have I been teaching? How much?
50.
There's some really great stuff coming up. I think I'm going to wait. I'm already at 50 some odd minutes. That's an hour. Some people only teach, you know, Pastor, they only teach 20 minutes. I got to tell you, I love this person, but I remember they were telling me another pastor I know that I really love. I love this person. They asked me to speak at their church. And they got a lot of stuff, cool, hip, happening, you know. And I said, okay, great, you know. I said, how long do you want me to speak? You know, well, how long do you usually speak at your church? I don't know, about an hour. It's like, oh, we just teach the word for about 15 minutes. I think. And listen, there's probably other things that they do well. And you know what? 15, 20 minutes. If that's what you're getting every week, and then I wonder, you will always be weak and anemic. God does not want that for you. He wants you strengthened. But I want you familiar. When God says he's familiar, when it says in the scripture, in verse 3, he knows you discern my going out and my lying down. You, Lord, are familiar with all my ways. The scripture says in Job 31:4, does he not see all my ways and count all my steps? Oh, there's just something I wanted to say so bad, and I actually, it was just the Holy Spirit telling me not to say that. Wait. See, this is a struggle for me. I even limited it, guys, so we would. I only thought we'd get through six verses. I have. So listen, here's the bottom line. God has some really powerful stuff, and I'm not just saying that to rev you up. I do want you to be excited. I do want to get you revved up for the Lord, but I'm not saying that to manipulate you, you understand. I'm saying that out of genuine sincerity. God's got some real powerful stuff. So listen, the enemy's going to try to stop you from coming back and from listening to the rest of this psalm, however many weeks it takes us to get through it, right? But we're going to get through it because God has an important message for you and for me. So come here, let the word of God wash over us like water cleansing us. You know, let be washed, the Bible says, with the water of the word. Let it cleanse you. Let it refresh you. Let it remind you of your thinking. Because what you think about God is ultimately going to reflect on how you act and how you react. So it is so important to understand your God has searched you. He's dug deep. He's invested. He knows you intimately. And he loves you anyways. Remember that. And if your mind or your thoughts say anything different, take that thought captive. Kick it out the door. Well, I'm just a loser. I'm just a this. I'm the garbage. I'm the trash. You just take that. And you don't, whatever that person said to you, whatever you think of you, you bundle it up just like you do the garbage, right? And you tie it off and you take it out and you let the garbage men take that away in Jesus' name. And you replace it with what the Lord thinks of you. You are fearfully, wonderfully made, he says. I've searched you and I know you. Amen? All right. Let's take a minute and pray. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do in the upcoming weeks here as we go through Psalm 139. And I hope God has spoke to you through this as well, because there is power in the Word of God, power to change and transform lives. Make it sweet. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray. I pray right now that you would make your Word, Lord, sweeter to us than honey. Lord, whether we're at that beginning place, or maybe we already knew that, but we've slid back and it's become, I don't know, a chore for us. It's become kind of like shredded wheat for us, Lord. We don't want to eat it, a Triscuit or something, dry. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that even today that you would be reminding people by your Holy Spirit that there is life in your word and living water from your Holy Spirit. And how we see you, Lord, is going to, it's going to affect how we receive that living water in our lives. And so I pray in Jesus' name that they would see, each one of us would see your love in a new way, in a fresh way. We would receive your word, Lord, like a heavenly shower, Lord God, washing the dirt, cleansing us, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. And we would understand who you are, Lord, and who you've meant us to be, Lord. We pray for your blessing on every person who got in their car and made it down here today. Bless them powerfully in ways that I don't know how. I ask for an anointing, an appointing, an anointing on every person that is here today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I ask for those listening to at home, Lord God, that they would be refreshed and renewed and revived and reclaimed in their spirit. I ask, and we ask that together as a body, Lord, that you would do that work in us. There's no place we'd rather be, Lord, than in your presence, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Bless this body, bless this church and school and all the people in it, and all God's people said together, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys at home. God bless you guys here. Have a great week in Jesus' name. Amen.